años. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, for the Bible tells me so. Loves me, oh yes, yes, my Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible, yes, the Bible, for the Bible tells me. So
thank you, Gregory. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and continue playing. And do we have someone who is going to pray for our offering today? Prepare our hearts to give to the Lord our tithes and our offerings. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've freely given to us in Christ. Thank you for all the blessings. Now we just praise you that you're giving us an opportunity now to give back some of what you've given to us. Help us to do it with joyful hearts, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Gregory. I can make some noise, too. Praise God. It's so good to be here. Right? That just when you, if you're not here for a while, well, Bob, you're going to miss us. I know, because I go away, you know, often. And, of course, we're going to miss you a lot, too. And it's always good to be back. This is home. And glad to be here fellowshipping with you today, worshiping with you today, being encouraged by you today. It's just so good to be here. And today we're going to look at God's Word. And, you know, I went to Atlanta 3-4 years ago for to suffer in the Ritz-Carlton to study their business system and their dining system and all that, and it was all paid. So I went, and of course it covered a Sunday, and I called a couple of Assembly of God churches, and one guy said, well, I really want you to come to my place, but you're too far. You can go to my rival's church. You know, so, you know, really fun people. And I went, and it cost me a fortune in taxi fares, but I didn't care. I wanted to go to church. And I got there, and just like today, it was a church of about 300, 400 people. Just like today, I was the only one wearing a necktie. The only one. And the pastor had a little cool black T-shirt on with a beige jacket, you know. And, you know, his deacons, you could all tell because they kind of looked like the pastor, black T-shirts, you know, big gray T-shirts. Pretty funny. But at the end of the service, he said, now the service is over, I want to go back and greet the only guy in the church with a necktie and explain to him why he's the only one. First time he'd ever seen me. Funny. The reason I wore this is because I only get to wear this in March. It's my sakura necktie. And Pastor Hiroshi's secretary, Maki, and our very good friend made this for me a few years ago. So too bad, you have to live with it. Amen. Sorry. Let's go back one. Why is it jumping? It is going crazy, isn't it? What you doing that for? It's never done that before. All right, we'll be okay. How many of you, at least when you were a child, were just a bit of afraid of the dark? Anybody? Yeah, afraid of the dark? Yeah, a lot of people. Sometimes we think shadows are monsters. I lived in a little country stone house surrounded by woods on three sides. And I hated the nights that were full moons because, you know, the shadows from the trees, I just knew they weren't shadows from the trees. I just knew. And it didn't help to have big rats in our old country house either. Scared of the dark, scared of shadows. We have a friend who loved horror movies. Now, as a Christian, she wants nothing to do with those, but I've often wondered about people who like horror movies. I mean, I know several people who love those mindless things, and maybe that's it because they are mindless, but, you know, I often wondered after watching those if those people would be brave enough to walk on a dimly lit street. Or they just jump in their bed after the movie and, you know, shake to sleep. In an interview, Stephen King was asked about his daily writing routine, and he said, I always write in the morning. And they said, well, you ever write at night? He said, are you kidding? Not with the stuff I write. And here our pastor is laughing, but sometimes I think our pastor has a little bit of Stephen King kind of. When he was very active in our youth, young men of the church, he'd take camping every summer, including my boys. My boys didn't experience this one, this story that I'm going to tell you. But he would take them not to a well-lit area, but he would always find a really dark place to go camping. And often near a graveyard. And if they wanted to eat, they had to have water, right? Well, the bucket of water was on the other side of the graveyard. And after it got dark, he would make them go get it. Guess what? They paid him back one time. They didn't come back. Stayed out in the dark. I remember one time I went with him, and he was telling ghost stories with a flashlight under his chin. You know, and that's all we could see was this strange pastor in the light. We're going to talk about the light today. And, you know, I love the Gospel of John, and I like the letters of John. And I've been teaching from 1 John this year, and I'm going to teach again today from 1 John. If you'd like, you can follow along as I read these five verses. I'm reading from the NIV, which is your pew Bible. 1 John, three letters that this writer, who I think wrote the Gospel and the Revelation as well, wrote three letters. He had a lot to say about light in his Gospel and in these letters. Verse 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that you are, Heavenly Father, our light. We thank you for your wonderful work in our lives. We thank you for the work you've already done in this worship service today. Continue to change our lives, Lord. We don't want to leave without you changing us. Don't let us leave the same person we came in. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Good word, huh? This is the message we have from him. And who is John talking about? We. I think he's talking about, of course, himself and the other disciples. And we have heard from him. I think he's talking about from Jesus Christ himself. John wrote a very unique gospel that's explained everything about who Jesus was, especially in relationship to him being God's son and being God. So John knew very well. The Holy Spirit enlightened him very well, and he was very special to Jesus. I think John and Jesus had some very intimate conversations about the Heavenly Father and the light. And Jesus often talked about light as well. So what does this mean? Why is this so important? I think John prefaces what he's going to say later with this very important statement about God being light. Now we have to be careful. God is light. Is that the same thing as saying light is God? Of course not. You know, I took this photo near my home, and every September and every March, there's a river near my home, and the sun comes up behind this island called Ogura-gama-jima, a big black god island. Strange, but it comes out there, and it looks like this every fall in September and every March. The reason I mention this is because I go to this bridge and I stand over the river and I shoot these pictures, and there are these couples, these older couples and these older women who come over and wait for the sunrise with me. But they don't have cameras. They praise the sun. or what the sun means, or the sustenance of the sun. And maybe they think light is God, or the sun is God, or originally, way back when, that's where all life came from. And so I did an internet search, and I found that there's so many sun worshipers. There are so many religions from the beginning of time, through Europe, through back to Africa. And even in Ireland, there are some remnants of sun worship. All over the place. They worship a form of light. And they're close. There's some truth in that. But light is not God. God is light. Now, what is John talking about here? God is light. He didn't say God is like a light. God is like the sun because, you know, he shines. He didn't say God is a God of certain kinds of light. He said God is light. He is light. That's his very being, his essence. He's God. And that describes his glory, his beauty, his majesty. Every word that we can try to think of that is a superlative kind of word that describes God, and we just can't put it in words, that's what John was talking about. His wonders, his splendor is another word I put up there. Too much to describe. So when Moses looked at God, and he just got a glimpse of him so that he wouldn't even die, he changed. He was radiant. His whole countenance. Pastor Chris taught us about Moses last year. He described the difference in Moses after he'd experienced God who is light. And it also has to deal with his truthfulness. Do you know that God cannot lie? When I was a kid, I used to say, God can do anything. And then one time somebody said, well, can he make a rock so big he can't move it? And I went, but he can do anything. And, you know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, so I didn't know anything, you know. And then when I was a brand new Christian, I was being discipled by a missionary one day, and he asked me, he said, is there some things that God can't do? I said, no, God can do anything. He said, no, God can't lie. And I went, God's got some limitations then. No. He chooses to be truthful. His very being is light, and there's no darkness in it. So he is truth. He's truth. And that's another thing that light refers to. And he talks about his holiness. In Isaiah, we read that Isaiah says about God, he is holy, holy, holy. And that's so powerful. Just to be, there's no other way to say it, but just to repeat it, to express the greatness of his holiness and the fact that he is pure light. Unchanging light. He's just holy. Not like anything we can express in words. We don't have enough words in all of our languages put together to express God's holiness, his purity. He is light. Remember, he's not like a light. Light is not God. He is light. Let's look at some Old Testament references. In particular, there's just so many. If you want to do a Bible search online, and you'll see all the references of light and how they deal with God, there's so many. You can study this forever. And here are some that I just chose to help us understand what John was trying to say. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. That's so interesting. Isn't that circular? You know, we can't see real light without him. Only in his light, only with his help, can we see the truth. David said that very well. David goes on and chapter 76. You are resplendent with light, more majestic than mountains, rich with game. Well, rich with game, I mean, you know, that's how they ate. They had to find their own food. We just can't explain it. Your light is beyond words for us. In chapter 89, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. So God's presence is light, right? Wherever God is light. Because His very presence is that thing we know as light, right? It's just God. Wherever He is light. If you're worshiping God, do you sense any, if you're in a really intimate time with God and you're praying and you're worshiping and you're studying His Word and you're just having that prayer time and you're worshiping, do you feel any bit of fear of the dark? Nah, I can take on the world right now. Come on. Because you're in God's light. It's not something you've whipped up. It's not something you've stirred up. It's not your education. It's not your background. It's God's very presence. That's what it is. That's why you feel invincible. And you are. In Him. In His light. You are. One more time. Verse 15 of chapter 89. Blessed are those, us, right, who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. Now, that walk in the light, be careful. And to make note of that is a progressive term. That is something that is actively continuing to happen, okay? Walking in the light, if you're stopped, you're not walking, right? So if you're walking, it's a continuous thing, a continuation. And John uses that same language later. So, God's light. Bob and I were, you know, glancing at each other because of the songs chosen today. I didn't tell Pastor Hiroshi what I was going to preach, and it always works out that way. His light shines down on man so that we can be saved. Right? God is not just light for the sake of being something bright and cool. Huh? His light shines down on man so that we can be saved from darkness. From darkness. God's purpose was to save us from darkness. He replaces darkness with His light. And His light does a few things, right? What does light normally do? It reveals, right? So you don't walk into a room, you know, your children's room, and they have a stool somewhere in the night, you know, and you bust your knee and you find out where the stool is, right? That's not good. That's a bad way to find out where the stool is. Turn on the light. It reveals where things are. And that's one thing light does. It reveals. And God's light reveals as well. And it shines on our heart, and we have a lifestyle that's not good. God shows that to us. So His light reveals, it saves, and His light empowers us to walk in that very light that saves us. So once we have the light, the Holy Spirit is revealing things on our hearts so we can know how to live, and He reveals it through His Word. He shines His light on this book so we can understand it, right? Lord, make Your Word more understandable. No, Lord, enlighten my mind. The Word is okay. I'm the one who needs enlightening, and that's what His Word does. All right? And we know that this is what His Word does. It's very interesting to read these two books together, the letters of John and the Gospel of John. Let's turn with me to John, the Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Ooh, do we need the heaters? Am I the only one roasting? I guess so. It's all right, I could use to... Yeah. Thank you. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This whole chapter is just wonderful and filled with all kinds of good things about the light of God and the life of God and God coming down and camping out amongst us and those kinds of things. But I'm just going to read 5 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. And I like the version, right? The darkness didn't comprehend it, couldn't comprehend it. Light, darkness. God is light, and the darkness shone into this world. And God's purpose was to do what? To show us Himself. Here I am, I'm light. You're down there living in darkness, and I want you to see me. And that's how He did that. He revealed Himself to us. And Jesus came right out and said it very clearly. 8 chapters later, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. It's not good to be in darkness. Are you getting the point? What is John saying in his letter and here through the words of Jesus? Get out of darkness. You don't want to be there. Who likes to be in the dark? We have an expression in English, I don't like being in the dark. Let me know what's going on. When your chief operating officer comes on board, say, I know you're going to tell, one of the first things you're going to tell him, I don't want to be in the dark. Let me know what's going on. That's all I ask of you. You want to know what's going on. That's an expression about without knowledge, expressing a lack of knowledge of what's going on. It's not good to be in the dark in a physical room as well. What goes on in dark places? Usually things that are not above board. Usually things that are, you know, we're trying to hide something. One of the reasons sometimes when we're doing something that we know is out of God's character, out of God's will for us, do we want to hang around Christians? We kind of avoid our brothers and sisters in those situations. Why? Because the light inside of them is going to reveal the mess that I'm in. We don't want to see that. So that's if you're in a place where you're avoiding your Christian brothers and sisters, you need to do an inventory of your Christian walk, your Christian lifestyle. Jesus said, what? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Again, what did I say earlier in Psalms? Walking in the darkness. Did I just say we're never going to sin? No. Didn't say that. But are we going to walk in a continuous, progressive kind of pattern of a sinful lifestyle is might be something we need to really look at. Then John adds to this, he says, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. I just laid out some things we need to think about. And John also adds, there is no darkness in him. There are many kinds of deities in the world, and a lot of them are like really strong grandfather kinds of guys. Right? They're God and they're powerful and they just got this energy, but they have a kind of a flaw. They might like a little drink on the side. They might drink too much, those kinds of deities. Or they might, you know, be weak to women. You know, those kind of deities exist. They have these one spot of sin in their lives. But John says of Jehovah God, there is no darkness in him at all. None. Not even the slightest shadow. If we take this building and shine the brightest lights we could find, somewhere in this room, no matter how many lights we shine into this room, it's going to be very bright, but there's going to be a shadow somewhere unless we get rid of all the furniture, unless we get rid of all the corners and edges and air conditioners and the heaters and the stuff. If you have stuff in your life that is not in line with God's teaching, God's principles, there's going to be a dark corner somewhere in your life. There's going to be a shadow. And, you know, we justify it. We go, well, you know, I got this thing in the corner of my heart, you know, and God's working with me. And, you know, it's just this little thing, you know, and it's maybe an addiction, you know, and we justify it. But in him, there is no darkness at all. We can't say, well, you know, God's like that, so I am. No, God is light, no darkness. In him, there's none. Light dispels or pushes out the darkness. When we had the candlelight service here for Christmas, Hiroshi and I preached, and I talked about how when we bring a candle, just one little candle into a completely dark room, especially just one candle, you can almost literally just see the darkness running away. It just really does push it out. It works that way. And they can't coexist. You don't put a candle in a room, you don't see a clean divide where that side is just completely pitch black and this side is completely lit. They just can't coexist. Wherever you bring the light, the dark is running away from it. The darkness doesn't want to coexist with the light. It's physically impossible. I wanted to use the word metaphysically impossible, but I don't even know what metaphysically means. So, just seems like it can't. And that's what John is saying. He's actually saying it's not just a spiritual thing. It's just not that God doesn't like darkness, which he doesn't. It's impossible for darkness and God to coexist. Can't happen. Not even a shadow. And I told you about the shadows in this room that would happen. Shadows can be a good thing. You know, in the summer we want the shadow of a tree or the shade of a tree. But usually in the shadows, in the alleys, you know, in the corners or where things that are not pleasing to God are happening. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It's evident in the very beginning of God's creation that God and light cannot coexist. He purposed to create the way he did. It was purposed by God to get rid of darkness. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God took care of that real quick. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. He separated the light from the darkness. He saw the darkness, and he said, "Enough, let there be light." Darkness scattered. Separation. Division. Can't coexist. Impossible. Doesn't happen. Why am I spending all this time on that? First of all, God wants to remind us every day when we see a sunrise, when we see, maybe today not a sunrise, but when we see that light that comes up every day, wherever we live, I know some places don't get light for 6 months, I know, breaks up my illustration, but it's all right. Just as the light of the sun brings the world where we are back to life, God with His light awakens us. Awakens us. And I believe that's why we have beautiful sunrises. We can just go and say, God, You came into my life. You're chasing away the darkness in my life. Let me read something before we go to that. Philip Brooks was a pastor and author, and he wrote this about that sunrise. Let me go back to that for just a second. When the sun rose this morning, it found the world in darkness, torpid and heavy and asleep, with powers all wrapped up in sluggishness, with life that was hardly better or more alive than death. The sun found this great sleeping world and woke it. It bade it to be itself. It quickened every slow and sluggish faculty. It called the dull streams and said, "Be quick," to the dull birds and bade them to sing, to the dull fields and made them grow, to the dull men and made them think and talk and work. The light, the sun, poured strength into the essential processes which belong to the very nature of the earth. That light glorified, intensified, fulfilled the earth. Pretty good. Very good writer. It's what God does. Not only to this earth, but to us. He glorifies Himself in us through His light. He intensifies our being. What does He do? He sharpens us up. He fills us with His Holy Spirit and makes us what He intended us to be with His light. He fills us. So I said all of those things to qualify why John is able to say these very heavy things about these false claims in verses 6, 8, and 10. He says some pretty powerful things here. Not friendly, not politically correct at all. And then we have my paraphrase here. Basically, if we put it in today's English, this is what we would say. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. Boy, I got to get me some spectacles. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Suppose we say we have a close relationship with God who is light, yet we continuously walk in darkness. We are sinning. We have a habit, a habitual sin. We continue to do it. You know, I'm saved, Kevin, but that doesn't mean I have to live a perfect holy life. I mean, who can do that in this society? But I'm not saying it. John said, if you say you're walking with God, but you live in darkness, the result of that is that we lie. John is saying we're liars. You know what we say today? We don't say we lie. We say, I misspoke. I meant something else, but you know, I was tired. Misspoke. It's not a lie. But John didn't say that. If you say, suppose we say, if you're just telling me you have fellowship with God and you're continuing to do the same things you were doing before you became a Christian, John doesn't say that you misspoke. He said, you're a liar. You're not being honest. You're not walking in the truth. You're not living by the truth. Plain and simple. Why? Because we just looked at what God is, who God is. God cannot coexist with darkness. Is this hard? Is this heavy? Is this painful? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. No. If we claim to be without sin in verse 8, we are only kidding ourselves. We really do begin to believe a lie if we continue to do it long enough. If we get into the same pattern of telling lies, it becomes routine behavior. It becomes the norm. That's what he's saying. I don't have any sin. I'm okay. I can live like this. And John says, you're kidding yourself. It's not true. There is junk in your life. And you're not fooling God. You're not fooling those around you. Who are you fooling? Right here. Right here. We deceive ourselves. In Kevin's version, we are kidding ourselves. I'm not talking about joking, kidding. And the truth is not in us. Why? Because the truth is light. And light and darkness cannot coexist. Can't happen. Doesn't work. That's why John was saying that. Because he prefaced it by saying God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. And why? So, because God is light and there's no darkness in him, I'm going to blow away a couple of claims by these crazy teachers who say, you can do anything, you can believe anything, you can just give mental assent to who God is. Yeah, I believe there's a God. I believe there's a Jesus. But I'm going to live the way I want. I'm not going to follow Christ or anything like that. Which was a group called the Gnostics. Just, you get more knowledge, it doesn't matter what it is, just fill yourself up with knowledge, but make no commitment at all. That's what John was saying. No, it's not true. They're deceiving themselves, and we can begin to deceive ourselves too. And then the false claim number 3, verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, not at all, I mean, you know, that whole idea of sin, I mean, it's just, you know, it's sin to you, but it might not be sin to me. And, you know, there's some truth in that to a little tiny degree, but we really take it to extremes when it benefits us. So not only are you deceiving yourselves, but you are saying, God, you're wrong, I'm right. I'm right. And that's why we don't repent. That's why we don't come back to God. Because we think we're right. And, you know, that was good for Jesus' day. That was good for John's day. That was good through the first century. But this is 2008. Come on. I mean, look at all my friends. They're over in Nagarikawa. And, you know, hey, life is okay. But if we're calling God a liar, I don't know about you, but if somebody calls me a liar, I'm not going to be real good friends with them. I'm going to try, maybe, but if we're calling God a liar, God's word can't be in us. We don't believe it. We don't trust it. Our pride has us up here and God down here. Now, that's all the bad news. The good news. John also talked about some good things. We find ourselves in these states of denial and wanting to put ourselves above God and not follow Him. John says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We're all hanging out in the light, and it's good and it's fun. And that's why I say it's so good to get back here. It's good to be around your brothers and sisters, and you hug and you shake hands and you say, pray for me. All our sins are washed away. We're clean, purified. Because that's what light does. It reveals it. It cleans it. And restores us. We're intensified. It's not all bad news, but you know there's that element where you can be deceiving yourself. And you can be calling God a liar. There's more good news. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Why wouldn't we confess? Because I said earlier that pride thing will stop us from doing that. Because we begin to think that we're right. And this book is, well, you know, there's parts of it, you know, that just... But God is faithful and just. Oh, God, man, my pride has just gotten me off track. I'm a mess. God, restore me. Please, You don't even have to go that far. All you got to do is confess it. God, I've sinned. Okay. Forgiven. Done. All gone. Let's move on, is what God says. Let's just review real quick. Darkness, when you understand it from the Bible's perspective, it's the enemy of light. Satan tries to use darkness to fool us, to trap us, to hinder us, to hold us back, to keep us from getting into the light. It's a distortion of light, creating shadows in place of reality. That's a scary one. We think we have the real good thing, and we go after that thing because it's easy to get. Or, you know, darkness makes it ready available to us. But it's a distortion of what's real. And it's the place where hidden things of evil can thrive and grow. How about the corner of your kitchen behind the refrigerator? The dark. What happens there? Things grow. Ugh. Young is a scientist over at the University of Hiroshima, and he's thinking, yeah, I've got some things growing over there. You know? Not talking about your apartment, right? No, no. So that's the single person's refrigerator, you know. Bottom drawer, back corner, celery, lettuce from last year. Ooh. Dark, damp. Not that kind of darkness. What about light? Review, light dispels darkness, gets rid of it, pushes it away, creates that divide, it's clear, this is God, that's not. That's what God is trying to say with His light. Light gives us direction in our life. We sang over and over today about God's light. Light unto our feet, lamp unto our path. God's light gives us direction, and it empowers us to be saved, first of all, and to live the salvation that God has given us, the Christian walk. Let's leave John for a second and go to what Paul said. Paul encouraged the believers at Ephesus, you were once darkness, but now, not there anymore. Don't have to do that anymore. You've been set free. No more shackles. Get out of the dark. Get out. Get out into the sun. Go get some fresh air. Get out in the light. And live as children of the light. Living and walking. Same illustration in the Bible. When you see that living word, or that walking word, it's a continuous progressive thing. Do it. It's not. I'm not beating you up today. I'm trying to make you feel beat up because of a sin. But I think God really wants us to understand that if we have a habitual thing that we're doing and we know it's not God, it's time for us to deal with it as a believer. We need to do a good inventory and say, God, okay, I want to live in the light. That's it. You confess your sins, you start walking in the light. Can you see that? All right. I love this song. I'm not going to sing it, so relax. I saw Chris's face. Oh, no, please. Nope. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Lord, be my light. Be my salvation. That's all I want. Is to be in the light. And in the light is what? In Him. I just want to be in you. I want to be in you. I told this to my friends and brothers and sisters in the Bible study. Midori and I have some mutual Christian friends, mostly her friends, that are struggling with this one issue in their Christian walk. And they're trying so hard to overcome or to achieve. And it's just, when I hear her reports, I feel they're not part of our church, so you know, I'm limited into what I can teach them and how I can counsel them. But I said, Midori, if you ever have the opportunity, if they ever ask you as a sister in Christ, tell them to just stop struggling. And just say, God, I don't want that. I want you. I want your light. That's all. I don't want things, stuff, provision. I don't want anything. First of all, God, I want you. That's all. All I want is to be in the light. That's all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are our light and our salvation. Thank you for shining you into our life, into this world, so that we could be saved. Thank you for giving us your light that would empower us. Thank you, Jesus, that you promised us if we walk with you, we'll never walk in darkness. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for prompting the writer of the sacred word, John, to encourage us that if we get into a place where we get our eyes off of you and we slip back into this dark state of bad habits, that we can confess our sin and our fellowship is restored with you. Thank you, Lord, that our salvation is so secure. Lord, we do need to take an inventory so that we won't be out of fellowship with you. Father, shine your lights in our hearts even more brightly today. We want our fellowship with our brothers and sisters to be sweeter, more light. Our fellowship with you to be more intimate, more light. Please, God, give us more light in our lives. More of you. More of you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.
With heaven I will soar, with you.